Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, merchandise, videos, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Rob Ensley.
We're Joey-less in Seattle this morning.
We've entered the Joey-free zone. He's not here. So, you know, I don't know. This is the first time you and I have done the show together in a long time.
A couple years. Three years, maybe.
We've had our little Joey between us. This could get ugly.
It's going to get ugly.
Straight up come to blows. You know, it's our last show of the year. Here it is. I mean, next Saturday's Christmas. And don't worry, don't panic. We're going to help you out with this. Ensley has...
I have the greatest gift of all time for you right now. The only problem is we're kind of in the in-store or gift card zone right now. If you want to get something shipped to you, it's going to be tight. But I've got stay tuned. I've got the greatest gift idea of all time.
This is
coming up here after the next break.
This is the goods. This could change the face.
Oh, this is a game changer. I promise all you outdoorsmen out there, you will thank me later for this one.
Change the face of your holiday celebrations for years to come.
So where's Pyburn? He's over fishing with Austin Mosier. He's got a cast and blast set up for like a 3-day cast and blast going on here. They absolutely murdered the rainbows and kokanee over there yesterday. He's going to jump on with us at 7 o'clock.
Dude, they're keeper blackmouth size. I mean, seriously.
They had a 21-inch kokanee yesterday, and the rainbows are seriously chewing the paint off the side of Mosier's boat over there. So he's going to jump on at 7 o'clock, talk about his cast and blast, his epic cast and blast he's got set
now,
up.
Now, are they goose hunting today?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow they're goose
hunting. Yeah, they're going to goose hunt tomorrow with Honk Stomper. He's with Mosier for a couple of days. So. Yeah. But he's going to jump on 7 o'clock, 6:25. We've got Brandon Weedham coming on from B&R Tackle. Speaking of game changers,
he did.
The soft bead game has kind of changed steelheading. I call it, you know, all over every week, checking in, getting steelhead reports and whatnot, and talk to the guys down at Sport Co. They're just selling the heck out of the B&R beads.
I'm just all about the holy worms, because last time you and I went steelheading, you had to thread all those worms, and I lost one, and I thought you were going to push me out of the
boat. Let me tell you, threading worms sucks. With a needle, and you stick, you're constantly poking your hand with that darn needle.
Right.
And these have the
they're holy.
The tunnel
holy.
Through the center. They're easy to rig up. But anyway, B&R Tackle, Brandon Weedham's going to jump on at 6:25 and talk about the steelhead game and how his company's kind of changed a little bit. 7:25 after Joe comes on. 7:25, our good friend Jason Tonelli up at Pacific Angler up in BC is going to jump on. Downtown Vancouver, back BC. They run charters. They got a great tackle shop set up there. And guess what? Best blackmouth fishing in 40 years across the border.
And when Jason Tonelli says it's the best blackmouth
fishing. It's the best blackmouth fishing in 40 years. He's just a great guy, and he's all over fish politics and all the fishery stuff up there. And he's kind of like us. He's been immersed in it his whole life, so he's going to jump on 7:25 and talk about what's going on up there, some of the techniques they're using. We've got a blackmouth opener coming up here in the Sound. And maybe a little bit of fish politics in there. I know Nelly will squeeze a little bit of fish politics.
I'm just so glad we're ending the year with a good, deep, up to your armpits dive into king salmon. That's just what I need to end the year. I mean, because you and I both caught our last fish of the year, probably. I'm pulling crab gear tomorrow, so shellfish, yeah. But, you know, I mean, we're winding up the year here, and so you can't help but look back onto really what was a pretty solid 2021. I mean, we may dig into that a little bit later, but, you know, the NOAA stoplight chart, which indicates oceanic productivity, came out this week. And our friend Ron Garner put a nice post up, and he's got, like we do, a decades-long view of how oceanic productivity manifests itself in not only the abundance of salmonids, but their individual size. And when you stack up a bunch of years of ocean, good productivity, you not only get a better survival, but you get good individual sizes of fish, which we started to see last year.
Yeah, the bottom line is we've had pretty rough ocean productivity here the last few years, and the chart that came out this year, it's basically a bunch of ocean indicators that they monitor. It's almost all green.
Yeah.
Like green means go, and this chart is looking really good. If we can get a few years out of this, we're going to be looking good on our runs. And some of the early Columbia River forecasts have come out.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to look pretty good. I think the spring Chinook run was the best since 2016, I want to say.
Yeah.
Starting to tick up again here, which is good. We'll take it.
I got to go springer fishing last year.
Yes, you did. You'll be out of here, I'm sure, a few times this spring as well.
Can't wait, dude.
What else is going on? We got razor clam digs underway right now. This is your last chance to get 20 razor clams out on the coast. Last chance for this bonus dig. The next round of digs is set to start on December 30th. We're going to go back to 15 clams at that point, but it doesn't matter. There is a ton of clams on the coast, regardless of what the limit is. You're going to probably have a pretty good chance of getting your limit.
Just grab some random kid off the sidewalk, buy him a freaking clam license, and get out there and, you know, tube them up, man.
That's right.
Tube them up. So I met Bob Buchanan yesterday, and Bob and I are going to go run through the crab gear tomorrow. And so he'd been out there razor clam digging. And he goes, listen, and then he hands me, and I knew exactly what it was, all of his razor clam guts and shells. And I don't know that there's a better clam bait than that.
Crab bait, you mean?
Excuse me, crab bait.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to catch a lot of clams. Sorry about that. So, but if you get a bunch of those razor clams, and then what you do is you need to put them in an actual bait jug, because there's no way the crabs can get at them. And if you put a new bait jug in your trap, and it's got those razor clams in it, you're going to see a little pinch, pinch, pinch.
Most of the commercial crabbers on the coast run razor clams, and they have commercial permits.
You'll
see them out digging all fall, stacking up the clams. I got some buddies at commercial crab out there, and they got freezers full of razor clams that they end up throwing down in the pots just to spritz up the scent down there. But, yeah, they're a fantastic bait for crabbing, so definitely hang on to those guts. They also were good for surf perch. So if you go out and you crab, maybe the next day, you know, go out and catch the tide and catch some surf perch on them as well. Salt them up.
That's it.
Squidding in the Sound. It's been really good in Elliott Bay. Now, I heard from Jason Norlander last night, Outlander Charters. He said it was a little rough last night.
Yeah.
Not quite as productive as it has been. But he said, you know, the last week or so, there's been schools of like hundreds of thousands of squid in Elliott Bay. That's kind of been the hot spot. Down south, been tough, but Elliott Bay's been the hot spot. So
Cliff Mass popped out a new blog yesterday on a podcast. Have you ever listened to Cliff Mass podcast?
I haven't.
It cracks me up, dude. He's got this really mellow music behind it. And Cliff Mass's voice is like a shot of smooth bourbon. You know? And he's telling you, but this is the time of year that the La Nina weather pattern really manifests itself. We're going to start seeing it. And we really are.
You listen to this like when you're going to bed and trying to, you know,
I'm doing show prep.
Poor Kathy.
Yeah, no, I can't. It's poor Kathy.
I'm so sorry,
poor
Kathy
is so right.
She's
a saint. Only through, we're only in her fourth decade. I don't know how she does it. Yeah, no, she knows. She knows I'm nuts. So we're Oh, yeah, because Nicole's got it so good with you.
Oh, no, I wake up at, I don't know what time, the phone buzzes literally at 4:30 in the morning. And somebody's checking, hey, you going duck hunting today? And she's like, what are you doing? I got the phone on. And, you know, anyway, our poor wives. But also steelhead fishing right now, Bogashiel, pretty good on the coast. Now, we've got some rain moving in, of course. It's raining right now if you haven't looked out the window yet. But pretty good numbers out there. I tell you what, the hot spot here in the Sound right now, though, is Tocal Creek over on the Snoqualmie. Pretty good numbers coming in, man. A reeder, they're kicking a few fish out of reeder ponds on the Upper Skykomish, the Wallace. Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
So, you know how I know my buddies are just killing the you-know-what out of the snow geese? I don't hear from any of them. Okay?
Yeah, right.
And so our buddy from Rare Marine, Mike Sertic, you know, I call him yesterday, and I hear in the background, hold on, you dirty rotten, waterfowling's just been terrible lately. He's been killing the snow geese. And, of course, there's that bonus limit. What is it, 10?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Dude.
10 goose limit.
I mean, I love a Christmas goose as great as the next guy, mm-hmm. right? But, man, you get a limit. You get a couple limits of those? Holy smokes.
Speaking of that, we had a hell of a shoot down in Roseburg, Oregon this week.
Cody Callum.
A drove all the way down and jumped in the blind with my good friend Cody Kellum from Born and Raised Outdoors.
Yeah.
They got a huge YouTube channel, all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, Born and Raised Outdoors.
Born and Raised Outdoors. Yeah. Look them up on YouTube, Instagram, all over the place. But we had an amazing shoot.
Was that an ATV I saw that was just absolutely full of freaking ducks?
Yeah, yeah. We took a side-by-side. I hunted this field, and we were on the X. We literally, there was a mud puddle. We hunted a mud puddle the size of this studio in the middle of a field, and they didn't even circle. They just came straight in. We limited on geese and maybe an hour. Mallards, limits of greenheads and geese. Big honkers, man. Big, like 15-pounders. Yeah, we had them last night.
Dude, I thought the ones we got on December 1st.
Those are big.
That summer day, December 1st, when it was 65. I bet it wasn't 65 degrees in the goose pit that day.
No, it was okay. You know, it was 40 degrees. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
But just smoked them out. And we were crushing geese on Boss 3.5s.
Really?
Not BBs.
Okay, okay.
I was shooting geese with duck loads. Yeah, duck loads.
Oh, 3.5 duplex shells.
Yeah, they're a blended shell and just crushing geese on them. Big honkers.
That's smoking them out.
Copper plated bismuth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing stuff.
So you were out of the same location, ducks and geese.
Same blind.
So were you setting, did you have both?
Field hunt. We had ducks and geese set out. Oh, yeah.
Ducks and geese.
Yep.
So both field and. So, like, one side of the blind, you got the mallards. The other side of the blind, you got the honkers.
Oh, they were just all mixed up. We had a really nice spread going. Okay. And super cool panel blinds, tangle-free panel blinds. We were grassed in really good, brushed up good. Cameraman behind us in his own blind. Amazing dog. We were there with Hayden Dorsey from Black Oak Retrievers.
Gotcha.
Sparkles, the lab, was there.
Sparkles!
Sparkles was picking up all the birds. Come on. Come here, Sparkles!
Sparkles!
Like, wow, dude. Could you whisper to your dog? Nobody. We don't need anybody to know that your dog's name is Sparkles.
don't tell anybody
Sparkles.
That.
Sparkles!
Oh, yeah. Oh, Magenta! Come here! Jeez Louise, what a rotten thing to do to a dog.
Oh, that's just terrible. An amazing Labrador,
and,
though.
And I saw something you popped up on social media, and so you're shooting that Browning's Wicked Wings.
Yeah, A5.
Have you ever had a jam with that
A5? No,
I have not either, dude.
No.
And you know how it is. You're stuffing different loads in the gun. Like, you know, I got 3.5 inches while we were overshooting geese, and a 2.75, and it don't matter. It does
trap
not matter.
Loads.
Shot to shot.
Yeah, for sure.
But to me, the ability to mix those shells, that A5 just doesn't jam, dude.
And honestly, Joe is still running the ultimate test on the A5. He's like, I'm never going to clean my gun ever again. Like, well,
yeah. Wait a minute.
Like, that's anything different.
When you can smell Joey's shotgun, then you got.
But
you
I'm
got
telling you,
something of an issue.
It just works.
No,
it's an inertia operated gun, and they may kick just a tiny little bit more than a gas gun. Mm-hmm. But man, those things just work.
Yeah,
they just work.
It's the John Deere tractor of automatic shotguns.
And it takes a little. The hump on the back takes a little bit of getting used to. But I have a problem cheek down.
I grew up with that.
Well, I know. I used one as a kid too. Yeah. Dad had one, and we both shot that thing growing up. And,
I still got a
belt. I have a problem getting my cheek anchored down far enough, and that hump is great. It just lines up perfectly with my eyesight.
So Jerry Michalak is a competitive shooter. He's an absolute legend, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a bunch of videos. He works with Vortex, and he discusses that as a cheek weld.
Yeah,
right?
The cheek weld.
Cheek weld. Yeah. And you know, that concept, when you're shooting, that concept of where that stock hits you on the cheek is so important, and it's something else for me to think about. So I don't go through my weirdness, target panic, knucklehead, you know, shoot myself in the foot and then miss an elk 5-time deal. So, all right, we got a great show for you. Robbo just ran it down. Listen, here it is. Last minute gift ideas. Because I got news for you, gang. 1 week from today is Christmas, and we're not going to be here. Okay? Because we're almost done with our Christmas shopping. Text us up. That's 710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards, 866-979-3776. Text us up at 206-421-3776. Your phone calls, texts, and Robbo's greatest gift suggestion in the history of Christmas next. You're in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It don't matter.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I didn't even have to ask for Christmas music. Matt Nelson doing the Charlie Brown. Welcome to our last show of the year, our last show before Christmas. Ah, that gave me the goosebumps right there. I think I'm going to just, all Christmas Day, just have the Peanuts Christmas special on repeat, right? And just roll it through, you know?
Best Vince Christmas gift idea of all time.
Is the Vince Guaraldi trio with this music in the background. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. This could be it right here. So I'm looking up Christmas all gift right. ideas. Yeah. Of course, you sent out the list of things to do this week, and one of them was we've got to generate a Christmas lift. And finally, we've got your spoons, and we've got the Alps Mountaineering cot that you need for camping and hunting and all that stuff. But this is the greatest gift of all time. I promise you, Billy the Big Mouth Bass. You can now hook Billy the Big Mouth Bass up to your Alexa, and you can talk to the bass. And you can take the bass wherever you want and talk to it. It'll link right up to your Alexa. You can order groceries. You can buy things off the internet. And you can have Billy the Big Mouth Bass sing whatever you damn well please.
I just flashed back to that Sopranos episode where they whacked Bump and Sarah, and then he just saw the Big Mouth Bass. And, yeah, that is classic, dude. But there's a video somewhere online where they have like 70 of these things all linked together.
A full-on choir.
A choir of Billy the Big Mouth Bass.
75 now, of them all linked up to the Alexa.
I want Sammy. Yeah. I want that in a Sammy the Salmon version. You know?
Of course you do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. Is that too much to ask, right? Dude, bass guys, they definitely
got it. It's hilarious. Yeah. We were dying last night looking at this deal. So, I was at Sportco the other day, cruising around, picking up some stuff down there. Duck calls, whether you're a duck hunter or not.
Yeah.
Hours of entertainment.
Yeah.
And there's duck calls from $10 all the way up to, geez, $200, $250 bucks. But great stocking stuffers. What about wool socks? Everybody needs some wool socks. Wool socks.
There has to be. I think there's some kind of law. There has to be socks under the tree for somebody. And yeah. You just have to look at the holes in mine. You know, I just wait because there's going to be socks under the tree and probably the odd pair of underwear too. Camouflage underwear for your hunter.
Oh, for sure. And but again, a dizzying selection of socks down a sport coat. Again, I walked in there the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be here for half an hour trying to figure something out. But smart wool. Wool socks, smart wool socks, all that stuff. Crispy socks, awesome. What about some merino long underwear? Just money. And then we got blackmail seasons coming up. How about a selection of herring aid spoons?
There you go. I was thinking about money. That on the way down.
Either and, Silver Horde or Gibbs. They're both making great spoons right now.
We had, and actually I was down at Harbor Marine yesterday, and they got it going on down there. Really good selection because all through the summer, what happens? Man, those pegs get ripped off. And if you got to kind of read between the lines and reverse engineer, okay, why are all of these flashers missing? Why are all of these spoons missing? Why are all – is this particular hook size missing? Well, the stores have had a chance to kind of get restocked. And talking to Kevin John up at Holiday, they got a good selection right down there. But like you mentioned at the top of the show, we are not in the order stuff zone right now. You are in the go get it yourself in
You're
person.
You're in the in-store zone or the gift card zone right
there
now.
There you go.
And gift card's pretty lame, so you better go hit the stores right now. That's a cop-out.
Yes That's and no. Out. It's better. It's a heck of a lot better than nothing. Oh, gee, yeah, I'll get you next year, shooter. Yeah, no. Gift card's better than nothing. But and then here's something else. For those that are really super near and dear to you, and I know this is not a new idea, but the stuff that you make at home, like if you've got smoked salmon, dude, that's always a package of vacuum pack smoked salmon or your deer and elk salami or something like that. That's just for the ones that you truly, truly love. But going to the stores right now, if you've got a salmon fisherman on the list, don't try to buy them a reel. Don't try to buy them a rod because it may not work into their program. But get them downrigger releases. Go get them a couple downrigger balls.
Some new Grundons, maybe?
New
rain gear?
Dude.
Yeah, new set of rain gear.
I burn them up every year, man. I know you do,
Well, of
too.
Course you do.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
You know what gets me is when you get a halibut on deck and you got two hooks flopping all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those, and I'm so lucky that I haven't got one in my leg yet.
Yeah.
But one of those hooks will catch the bottom of your ringer, and there goes the whole bottom of your ringer.
Yeah.
Gone.
Toast them. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
You ever had one go through the top of your boot?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Gaffs, hooks, all kinds of stuff in the
boot. Are you a harpoon kind of guy?
On big ones, oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
You got to harpoon them. The problem that we have is we have to measure them.
Right.
So it's that's a big gray area in there. You got to figure out how to get them in the boat. And if you net them, well, there goes the net too. You just thrash the whole net because you net a 50, 60 inch halibut. Good luck, dude.
So
yeah,
do I probably need to admit something on air here? When I ran my boat back to the factory, I may have left my best net on top of the top house.
It was there. Yeah.
So if anybody has found my net on Snoqualmie Pass,
is it a Bowmac?
Set it back.
Bowmac net.
It was. Yeah. It was my favorite.
I got a bunch of those Bowmacs.
So Bubba, if you're listening to the show, so BOMAC nets, but also BOMAC gaffs, okay? Having a gaff on the boat doesn't mean you're going to pig stick every single fish you got on there. But guys have, like, fish unhookers and stuff like that, right? There's no better one to have than a gaff. And it's one less thing to have. You just slide that gaff down the, you know, down the leader and flip your wrist. Flip the hook upside down. But BOMAC has a great selection of nets, gaffs, and halibut harpoons. Go to bnrtackle.com. Dude, the whole soft bead thing, when did that happen?
Yeah, things just got a whole lot less technical here all of a sudden. And now everybody's using soft beads. Go to the cowlets in the springtime when the bee run's coming in, and a lot of the guys are drifting soft beads, big ones.
How many
big, giant
thousands
ones.
Of hours did you spend putting up salmon eggs?
Oh, no, I know.
And I used to put them up in Sitka. It's for the whole season, right? You know,
and guys are still fishing eggs and still, you know, doing all this other stuff and jigs and stuff. But the bead game is strong right now. You got to have that in your quiver of tactics when you hit the river. So we're gonna reach out to Brandon Weedham here in a minute.
Definitely another tool in your box, Brandon Weedham of BNRTackle.com, the soft bead and holy worm craze for steelhead coming at you next during the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the Tech Line, presented by BOMAC here in Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Matt Nelson behind the glass. Rob Ensley to my left. No Joey. Hashtag No Joe show today. I just love it when somebody takes their passion, especially a fisherman, and makes a business out of it and is successful. And that is definitely the story behind BNRTackle.com. Brandon Weedham joining the show. Morning, Brandon. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Brandon.
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. Are you and your waders right now getting ready to hit the river? What's going on, buddy?
No, I wish. I got to go make some beads this morning.
Oh, awesome. Well, a lot of people are using your beads and also losing your beads in the river right now. So it doesn't surprise me that you're out there making them like crazy. What's the deal with the beads, man? I call all over the place every week, you know, talking to all the different tackle shops and stuff. In fact, I talked to Tom Sakamoto over at Three Rivers Marine. They can't keep the beads on the shelf. Sport Co. Outdoor Emporium. Talked to Jason Tinelli up in Vancouver, BC, who's going to be our guest at 7:25 here. He's like, dude, I cannot stock enough of these beads. So what is the deal with them? Obviously, they work. Talk to us about these darn soft beads, man.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest the changes we're seeing, and it really blew up this year, is that we're starting to transition from it strictly being like a winter steelhead bait to something that people now look more and more to salmon for. I mean, I know definitely personally that's something I've learned a lot about how effective the beads are for salmon. I mean, coho and chinook. But just seeing that transition and especially like seeing how the beads compare to bait, you know, sometimes it's really surprising how comparable or how even more effective beads can be compared to bait for salmon sometimes. It's really, really opened my eyes.
Well, and they hang on to them. You know, it used to be, I guess, when we were kids, we'd fish big corkies, you know, and they take one chomp on it and they spit it right out, you know. But these things are soft. And they chew on them a little bit. And I'm looking on your website right now, bnrtackle.com, and I see you've got beads all the way up to 32 millimeters.
Those are
like
golf
the size
balls.
Of a basketball, you know. So from 8 millimeter, that's about the size of a sockeye egg, up to as big as 32 millimeters. So I'm guessing guys are really getting into this for salmon fishing.
Yep. Yep. You definitely see that. And I think that's the biggest, the biggest trend you see is just larger and larger beads. It kind of defies all logic that we think about bead fishing, you know, where we really start out thinking about mimicking eggs, like mimicking sock eggs, or even a big Chinook egg, you know, is rarely bigger than 10 or 12 millimeters.
Well, you're bringing the profile of almost a cluster at that point, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the interesting concept.
Yeah, I think we really start relying on profile and then the color matches. You know, you really see where these colors are really attractive to the fish, and it really makes a good standout, something that they can pick off. And the profile, the round profile, that really means a lot. I think the older I get, the more I really appreciate like how perfect round features really seem to attract the fish.
So what are the hottest beads right now for steelhead? Because everybody up here is roping steelhead on these things. What are some of the hot colors and sizes and all that stuff?
Yeah, especially early in the season, we see the really brightish, the bright colors, especially we've had pretty good water, pretty good college water colors. So you're looking at stuff like Sharif, mottled Sharif. Sweet pink cherry is always a really strong color in the dirty water. And then there's a couple different versions of the clown colors. We have the clown, Joker, and Lucky. Both have chartreuse kind of mixed into the paint modeling, and those can really stand out in those early season dirty water conditions.
Brandon Wiedem, a BNR tackle, joining us this morning, and innovation is the backbone of what you've been doing here, and. You know, the last time Robbo and I really had, a brutal knockdown drag out was when he, threaded these worms and we were up on the Skagit and I lost one, dude, and he came unfreaking glued. It was a breaking point in our relationship, but you fixed this with your holy worm concept. Tell the listeners what that's all about and how it's going to save them a bunch of needle sticks in their fingers.
Yeah, the holy worm is a worm we designed.
He is on the worm. River. We just lost you for a second. You are out on the river somewhere, aren't you? Go ahead, buddy.
No worries. It's a worm that has the hole manufactured in it, starting from the head of the hole, and then it exits down by the tail. So for threading, it's pretty simple to thread the line through. So it works both with the monofilament. If you're threading, you're going to drift the worms. And also, for rigging the worm on a hook, it kind of sets up the hole centrally located. So it actually keeps the line really easily centrally located on the hook if you're fishing a worm in a jig under a float.
And that's absolutely key. And I'm also looking at your jig heads. One of the big struggles with guys is, they think they're just going to go online in some tackle outlet and get jig heads. Well, you can get jig heads, but your jig heads have strong hooks. They have the plastic keeper reverse on them. So tell us a little bit about the worm keeper jigs that you got going on, because there's nothing more frustrating than getting something you think is going to work only to have a bent hook, or every time you reel it back, that jig's hanging halfway down the bend of the hook.
Yeah, I think there's two things on the jig hooks. One being the owner hooks. We start with pretty much the best hooks you can buy, which, you never want to worry about losing a fish, based on a hook. And then the other is the wire keeper. It's a little little barb that keeps the worm really securely attached right on the shake of the hook. And especially, winter steelhead, a lot of flow, a lot of casting. It really keeps the worm pegged right where you want it to be the whole time.
So rigging up the beads, are guys float fishing with them? Are they side drifting them? How are folks rigging up these beads, man? Because that's the name of the game right now for catching steelhead. So how do we get folks going here?
Primarily, a lot of float fishing, either bobber dogging. There's some diagrams and stuff we actually have set up on the website where you pair with like the BOMAC bobber dogging floats and the weight, where you're kind of bouncing the bead along the bottom. And then the other option either is a straight drift where you use kind of a lighter weight than traditional drift fishing, or also a lighter bead option where you use like a fixed float or a light fixed float and use a really light weight in kind of these lower clear conditions where you fish like a single bead.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cool thing you got going on here too is you do most of your stuff in house. I mean and everybody else right now is kind of. Well, they're struggling with the supply chain issues, and I don't think that's been that big of an issue for you this year or since the great unpleasantness, has it?
Not yet. I mean, it's a daily balance we're struggling to keep up with, but we really strive to control either manufacture the things ourselves or to keep things domestic, and definitely. During this experience, it really has shown us the value of making things in the U.S. and making things local and how much flexibility that provides you, even if there's a little less financial on the back end. But the flexibility is really key.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But you got a great selection of stuff under that steelhead scampi. That catches my eye, too. But you've actually taken the worm to another generation. Because tell us about the difference. When we all first started using worms, they were just the typical bass fishing worm. They're all one color, and they're just one cylindrical shape all the way down. You've got some real innovative styles, patterns, and the paddle tails. Tell us a little bit about that part of the evolution of the steelhead worm, Brandon.
Yeah, the paddle tail is meant to be that really that contrasting color piece of the worm, similar to like what you see with a plug. You know, where you have a plug you're fishing with the tail of the plug or the butt of the plug is a paddle tail really adds that contrast. And yeah, a lot of the worm colors, just, you know, if you go look to a store and look at all the bass colors on the market, you know, they don't really match what you want for steelhead. So when it comes to steelhead, you know, there's a lot of color development that really, really sets across finding what kind of colors really match for steelhead and what kind of color contrasts are really going to work for steelhead.
Well, when I was guiding for steelhead, it was pink or methylate or light pink, or it was all some variation of pink. Now you got blacks and chartreuses and purples and pinks and all kinds of different colors. And folks are running these on jig heads, cutting them down, putting them on a jig head, and just slamming wild steelhead where you can still fish for wild steelhead. But, yeah, they were great, man. All the rubber worm stuff and the beads and all that stuff. Hats off to you, buddy. You got a great program going, and I know you'll be successful into the future. As long as we can keep steelhead fishing, you're going to keep selling your stuff, man. It's working great.
Yeah, we'll keep doing what we do.
He's Brandon Weedham. Go check out bnrtackle.com. Brandon, thanks for your time this morning, buddy, and good luck. Keep in touch.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy.
Have a great weekend. Merry Christmas, man.
And the thing of it is, when we used to guide up on this gadget, and we'd throw sand shrimp, and we'd throw bait, and do it all day. Then here comes the catch release season, no bait. And I used to feel, man, I used to just feel.
You felt naked.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
The pink worm was the next best thing.
I want
to
apologize to all our listeners right now.
He was naked most of the time, but commando style, steelhead fishing there. But listen, the pink worm was the next best thing because they would just crush a pink worm.
There was no doubt about it.
Oh, man, they would chew on it and run on and get aggressive with it. I remember hooking steelhead. And a big buck would have that pink worm in its mouth running all over the place, and there'd be a couple other steelhead trying to get the pink worm from that one.
And
you know,
before my intermediate step though between bait and those pink worms were the steelhead rag. You'd get those white backer rod,
for sure.
You know, and you'd sew that stuff in there too.
But a rag with a shrimp tail, oh
dude, I remember I hooked a steelhead on the lower sock one time that I never saw.
Oh for sure,
you know,
oh, yeah.
he just stayed under this log jam, and then eventually. That was it.
It broke you off.
Broke me right off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But to maintain that confidence from bait to an artificial. Now, this day and age, dude, I'd go straight out there with beads and just do fine.
I love the catch and release season because you didn't have to mess with bait. And I felt like it made you a better steelhead fisher.
Oh, 100%.
Because you had to mess with other stuff.
Yeah,
and we would go out with, I usually had three or four different setups on the boat. So we had spoon rods, plug rods, jig rods, side drifting rods, all kinds of stuff. And every hole we'd come to, I might say, hey, grab the spoon, throw it in there. And, you know, a couple guys that bomb spoons in the next run. Let's plug this one real quick. We plug it, and then we might be jig fishing. We might be side drifting. I mean, there was all kinds of different stuff going on. It was fun, and it made you a lot better fisherman than relying on bait.
And to broaden yourself away from that, and salmon fishing, the anglers do the same thing. If something's working, that's it. I'm not going to mess with anything else. But this day and age, you got to have all the tools in your box. I mean, you got to be able to mooch. You got to be able to jig along with your. If you go
hopefully
out there,
Joe's not listening right now because we're kind of dogging on bait a little bit here. So
it's okay.
Joe leaves, dude, and you know, bait goes under the bus.
He's not here. He's not here. We can talk artificials. We don't have to even say the raised bait today. We don't even have to say that.
You just said
no,
it.
But you know what I'm saying. It makes you a more well-rounded angler.
Yeah, for
because,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
You go out and you're successful, and success is great, right? But it's those tough days that make you ask questions that the answer isn't immediately available. And sometimes you think about it the next day, but just the ability to broaden yourself. And that's, you know, using artificials is definitely a way to go. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week for the last time in 2021, man. We're not going to be here on Christmas Day, I'm telling you right now. Last show of the year. Raymarine Picks of the Week here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Log on to raymarine.com. You're going to find the best multifunction navigational displays available. We're talking fluid touch, hybrid touch displays. Raymarine Navigation Displays put you in command with the speed and simplicity of the Lighthouse operating system, and there's a brand new update. I'm going to actually put that update. I'm headed to the boat right now. Put that update in there, buddy. I cannot wait.
That sounds like a blast. Can I come? Can I watch that?
Dude, I love my little.
I bet you
after the show, I love rolling down to the boat and just doing a couple things.
Listen,
right?
If you had Billy the Big Mouth Bass hooked up to Alexa, he could probably update the thing for you.
I don't want any bass.
Billy, say Billy, update Raymarine.
I don't
Boom,
want any
done.
Bass between me and my me
sitting
and my
right. You could Bluetooth that thing right to the boat out in the yard, and you could just sit and watch football.
Not gonna happen.
Hang out. So picks of the week: Steelhead, Bogashiel,
yeah,
Snoqualmie, Skycomish. Out of those three, probably Tocal Creek on the Snoqualmie. Probably number one right now.
When's
yeah,
the last time you were able to say that?
I know, but man, we got some great returns coming in. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a bright spot right now. So get out there and run your B&R soft beads, maybe some jigs, whatever you want to do. But there's some opportunity to catch some steelhead right now on all three of those systems. Also, the upper Skagit dropped into shape here the last couple of weeks, and guys are catching dollies up there. I've seen a couple of pictures this week of some nice dollies coming out of there. Great chance to get up there and swing some flies, run some egg patterns, some flesh flies, whatever. And if you're a fly fisherman, get up there and catch some fish on the upper Skagit. Squid fishing in Elliott Bay was pretty red hot the last couple of weeks till I decided to write a report on it, the Northwest Outdoor Report. Jason Norlander from Outlander Charters last night texted me and he said, I don't know what happened last night, but the wheels kind of fell off, at least momentarily. Tons of squid in the bay, but they just weren't biting that good last night.
Dude, we got a dumping barometer. But
Norlander says, man, there's been schools of literally hundreds of thousands of squid in Elliott Bay, and I think it was just a little anomaly last night. They'll get back on the snap here again. I think you're right, Nelly. You get a dropping barometer,
yeah,
and everything seems to shut off. Is it falling?
Weather underground, yeah. It's got
yeah, okay,
down.
So.
Yeah.
But again, call Jason Norlander, Outlander Charters. He's been roping some squid out of Elliott Bay, as have the folks on the piers in the bay there. Been pretty quiet everywhere else, but Elliott Bay is definitely a hot spot. Razor clams open through the 23rd on the coast. This is your last chance for that bonus 20 clam limit, so definitely get out there this week. If you miss it, though, another tentative round of digs starting on the 30th of December. Plenty of digging left here from now till the spring. Crabbing, this is kind of your last chance for crab here in the Sound. I think marine areas 4 through 10 are open, and the north part of area 12 till the end of the year. So get out and get some crab right now. Some of that winter crab delicious.
I'm crabbing right now.
Yeah.
I accidentally fed Kathy crab two times last week. She's like, enough, enough, enough. And I'm like, come on, it's, winter crab.
Obviously, waterfowl hunting. We got waterfowl weather right now. That's going on. Blackmouth fishing is going to open January 1st. So make sure your batteries are charged, your hooks are sharpened, all your cable. Check out that cable on your downriggers. Make sure you're ready to go. Some of you guys are obviously running braid, but get all your stuff rigged up and ready to hammer some blackmouth here on the first. We do have Jason Tinelli jumping on the show from Pacific Angler up in Vancouver, BC. Now, that's a little ways away, but they've got a blackmouth fishery as well up there in the interior waters around Vancouver and Howe Sound and all that stuff. Best blackmouth fishing in 40 years in Canada. And so, where are those fish coming from? A lot of them are coming from right here in Washington. Could be a little snapshot of what we're going to see in Marine Area 10 when it opens here coming up.
So we've already seen, I sit on the Puget Sound Rec Fish Advisor Group, and some of the emails that we're seeing with the test fishing that's going on there indicates exactly what you just said. Not just better numbers, but also better size. And that's what's important is really we want to see more salmonids, but we definitely want to see better size too, just more reproductive impact from each one of those individual fish. But the picture that I'm seeing, why I'm so fired up about this January 1st opener, is the fact that we do have a couple good seasons of oceanic survival under our belts. We've got some increased hatchery production that's going to drive that, and so what we're seeing is more fish available this year and more individual size. Then when that stoplight chart came out this week, NOAA's indication of feeding, that is one of the variables that goes into all our run models. So we're going to see an increase in abundance this year, maybe give us a little more north of Falcon breathing room and maybe, cobble a little more opportunity.
I had to say salmon. I mentioned salmon, and here we go off into this world that Nelly lives in.
We're going to end the show with Jason Tinelli, and we're going to go a deep dive into salmon.
Speaking of salmon, Lake Roosevelt, Kokanee, on fire. Dude. So we got Joey jumping on the show just after the break here at 7 o'clock. He's over there with Austin Mosier right now They absolutely murdered the Kokanee and Rainbow over there on the other side of the state. They're going to do the same today, and then I think they're goose hunting tomorrow with the Honk Stomper. But anyway, if you want a report, hang out till after the break here. Joey's going to jump on and tell everyone what's going on that side of the mountains because it is on fire.
I mean, he's running the freaking side planers out the back. He's running the downriggers.
I think he's got 12 rods at a time because you got your two-rod endorsement. He tells everybody, show up with your two-rod endorsement, and they run. I mean, it's like a commercial trolling operation. And he's got these things 150 feet out to the side of the boat. So he's cutting, you know, like a 200 to 300-foot swath everywhere he goes. So.
Dude, he's catching 20 to 22, 23,
oh, yeah.
24-inch
oh,
rainbow.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Those are black-mouth-sized rainbows.
Yeah, it's awesome. Totally
excuse
awesome.
Me, black-mouth-sized kokanee.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, when we go over there next month, I want to be down below that bridge in those triploids in Rufus Woods.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
yeah.
those
and
I
that's
mean,
going on right now too. Rufus and Roosevelt are hot spots over there. As is a Chelan, you know, smaller kokanee in there, but guys are catching them in there. So that's something to do. You know, dragging your boat across the pass right now, probably not such a great idea.
No.
But the pass will maybe open up here shortly. You can tow your stuff across the your boat across the passes. But that's what's going on right now. I think really, if I was going to head out this week, it'd be probably to go try to catch a early hatchery steelhead somewhere.
I told Cole Creek
give
that
a
gas,
give that a try.
Man.
Yeah,
it's fun. You know, you're going to hang out with, you know, a couple dozen of your best friends, but, you know, who cares, right? It's going to be a kick in the pants. But don't ignore crabbing right now. It's, you know, it launch out of Everett. You know, the Port of Everett has the biggest ramp in the state. And, dude, if you go out the south end of the jetty and just hang a right, and if you got 50 feet of rope on your pots, drop your pots in 25 feet. I'm telling you, all the crab you want. It's phenomenal. It, you know, again, we've had all these salmon up the streams that have spawned, you know, well, and we've had floods that have knocked them out, but there's just a tremendous nutrient load right now, you know, out of all of our river mouths and get it done up at Skagit Bay. That's been solid too. So, and Dave Johnson's doing well in Area 10.
Oh, for sure. Limits every day, you know, the cooker's going on,
yeah,
pretty much going on every day out behind Kitsap Marina. Either the smoker or the crab cooker's going, you know,
yeah, well,
kind of alternating days. But, yeah, he's been roping them down there big time down in Area 10. I think around the Manchester area, he's kind of been a little quiet on that front. But
I don't blame him.
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in that Manchester area. Also, gift shopping, you know, you're kind of in the in-store zone right now. So get up to Holiday, you know, Harbor Marine and Everett, Outdoor Emporium, Sport Co., and you'll find something for the outdoorsman in your life. You know, I like to tell you to get the Billy Big Mouth Bubba Bass program that hooks up to your Alexa, but it might be a little tight getting that shipped in at the moment. But, gosh, for the blackmouth fishermen, any of the herring eight spoons, really any of the Gibbs or Silver Horde stuff right now for salmon is just hot. And I think Jason Tonelli from Pacific Angler will back us up on that as well. Flasher spoons, you know, get the saltwater fisherman in your life, a little clear box, put some spoons in there, and you're good to go.
So here's the deal. If you have a lighting challenge on your boat, get to Harbor Marine and go check out the all-new DuraBright lights. These and one of the things are guys are kind of shy about putting these on their boats because they'll get pilfered. DuraBright has this thing spotted, dude, and you can remove these lights. There's a removable power cord in back and two little thumb screws. But the thing of it is, you can get a spot or a flood, and then you adjust the back of it how bright you need it to be. So I put one of these on my bait table, which is so – because you remove the bait table, bam, you know, you can just remove the cord, and it's just fine. But just that if you put a hard LED spotlight that only has one speed, it's either on or off, it's fine. It's going to blind you if your table's white, right? But just to be able to dial in just a little illumination, how much time do you spend trying to cut cut plugs in the dark, right?
Well, it's luckily for me, it's summertime, yeah, and it's light, you know, 24/7 in Alaska.
Yeah.
But there's times, you know, towards the end of summer, it's
sure.
pretty dark in the morning. I might throw the headlamp on or something to cut bait in the morning. But definitely, I put a big bar on the top of my boat, big LED light bar from DuraBright last spring because we bear hunt up there.
Right.
And then you bear hunt till dark, and then you find yourself, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles away from camp in the charter boat.
Right.
And you got to have, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can hit in Southeast Alaska. You're 100 miles from home.
Sure.
Got to be safe. And these things, you can light up the countryside with one of those light bars.
Well, and the thing about LEDs is they're so efficient these days. They don't make heat. They just make light. And
yeah.
so they're easier
yeah.
on your batteries and they last a lot longer.
We also run them in the fog.
Yeah.
You know, when we're running in the fog, we'll flip them on just, you know, so other boats can see you and whatnot. But yeah, great gift idea right there.
We're going to flip Joey Pyburn on. He's on Rufus. He's on Roosevelt. He's roping the Canada geese. He's not in the studio, so we don't have to talk about bait. Joey Pyburn joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.